Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have started into Paul's epistle to the Galatians. And he says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And then verse 2, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. From verse 1, we learn that each of us should recognize our divine composition, who we are by the grace of God. Paul was an apostle by God's design. That's what God had made him. He hadn't chosen that for himself, that is for sure. He had not sought that. He had not intended that. But God intended it for him, and God made that very clear. God called him to Jesus Christ and called him to become an apostle of Jesus Christ. And that's what he was, by the design and intent of God. And therefore, it was his responsibility to fulfill his assignment given to him by God, to know who he was, to operate according to the assignment that had given to him, and if necessary, as it was in the churches of Galatia, to defend his God-given assignment against those who would undermine and attack it. But this applies to all of us, though none of us, not me, not you, not anyone who's listening to this broadcast today, none of us are an apostle of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ isn't making any more apostles. But if you are saved, you and I have been saved by the same grace that saved the Apostle Paul. And if you are saved, then you and I have been fitted into the body of Christ for a divine purpose. Not as apostles, but as something. Some of you, like me, may be pastors. Others are something else. But all of us have a place and a purpose in the body of Christ, as much designed by God, intended by God, given to us by God, as was Paul's apostleship, given to him by God through Jesus Christ. So we need to recognize who we are, first of all, sinners saved by grace, and secondly, members of Christ's body with a particular function for which we have been uniquely and divinely designed and assigned. And let's find that place and fit in and function to the glory of Christ. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. We should all recognize our divine composition. But as we move into verse 2, we come to another lesson, and that is we should all understand our Christian connections. Paul goes on to say, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Yes, Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ, a position of great authority, great significance. But this is not a standalone position, even as important as apostleship is. It's not a standalone position. Paul understands his connection to others who are laboring with him, other members of the missionary team, the brethren who are with me, and his connection to the Christians in the churches of Galatia. Paul is now emphasizing Christian community, Christian brotherhood, Christian relationships, the brothers who are with me. He includes them in sending this epistle. We don't know who he had in mind specifically. We do know on many occasions who his ministry team was. Sometimes it was Paul and Barnabas. Sometimes it was Paul and Silas. Sometimes It included Timothy and other members of the team, Luke, for example, or Titus. In this particular case, we're not sure who the brethren were that were with him at the time that he was composing this letter, but who they were probably was known to the churches of Galatia. They probably had enough contact with Paul to know who was with him at the time, so all he had to say was, "All the brethren who are with me," and they would know who that was. Why would an apostle of Jesus Christ be so careful to mention other people when he's writing an inspired, authoritative letter that is, in fact, the words of Jesus Christ himself and carries the same authority? Because Paul recognized the importance of partnership, of fellowship, of unity, of working together, of cooperation within the body of Christ. That's very important. Paul recognized the importance of it. May God help us to recognize that as well. And so on the one hand, the brethren who are with me, and on the other hand, the churches of Galatia, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. And he's writing this epistle to the churches of Galatia, not to the church of Galatia, singular. The Bible never uses the word church in that way. Can I say that again? The Bible never uses the word church in that way. We often do. I hear people talk about the church in America, the church in Africa, the church in Europe, the church in Asia. Well, I know what is being talked about. I'm not highly offended by that term. I know that that's a way of saying the Christians who are in America, the Christians who are in Asia, the Christians who are in Africa. I understand that. But I do point out that the Bible never uses the word church in that way. It uses the word church in two ways, and two ways only. Sometimes, occasionally, and really quite rarely, but a few times, the word church is used to speak of what we call the church universal, which is all born-again believers, living and dead, the totality of all believers, as we shall someday be revealed when we all gather together in heaven. More often, that's called the body of Christ or something like that, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. But secondly, the Bible, most commonly, very frequently, more than 90% of all the times the word church is used, and by the way, the word church is used over 100 times in the New Testament, the Greek word ekklesia, and 90-some of those times are used of local churches, basically one in each city, a literal, local, physical church, personal and organized church in every city that had members and officers, pastors, and deacons in the passing of time and development, deacons, and people knew who was and who was not a member of the church, and people knew who were and who were not the elders and the deacons of the church. It was a very literal, physical, local church that could be clearly identified in every city where Christianity had been planted. And that's the only way that the word church is used in the New Testament. And here's an example of that. Paul does not write to the church of Galatia. He writes to the churches of Galatia because he's writing to a number of local congregations. I hear people talk about the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, and so forth. And again, the Bible never uses the word church in that way. It is either the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at Rome, at Ephesus, at Philippi, at Thessalonica, or the church that includes everyone. But that's the only way the word church is used in the Bible. Today it's hard to grasp the New Testament concept of the church, because of the multiplicity of churches in most communities with very little connection. We recognize that All true born-again believers are members of the same body, and we are brothers with one another, no matter what the label, no matter what the church is like. And yet, because of the development of Christianity over the centuries, because of the inroads of apostasy, because it is so difficult in some churches to even be able to figure out who may be saved and who's not, because the church maintains no order, no defense of sound doctrine, no defense of Christian behavior and practice. It's just really become a hodgepodge, and things have really broken down. And so things are very difficult today to get back to the New Testament pattern and ideal. Seems like an impossibility in our day. That should never keep us from trying, and we begin, of course, with our own local church and try to make it what the Bible indicates that it ought to be. But to get things back in totally the way that they were in the first century, in New Testament days, seems like an absolute impossibility in the day in which we live. It's such a hodgepodge, mess, and conglomeration that we're really having to wait until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to sort everything out, to separate the wheat from the tares, and to sort things out. But we need to understand what the situation was in the Bible. We'll never make any improvements, any reforms. We'll never move in any more of a biblical direction if we don't understand what the biblical model is and try to conform ourselves in that direction as much as is possible. And so part of that is understanding the concept of the church and how the Bible uses the term church. And what I want us to understand is the centrality of the local church in God's plan. I told you that the word church is used more than 100 times in the New Testament, and 90-some of those times refer to specific local churches. And it's evident that that is the centrality of the work of God in the first century. There really weren't any parachurch organizations. There were local churches, period. That was God's plan. And I'm still convinced that that is God's plan, that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ be centered in and out from local churches. And I'm not convinced that Christian organizations that bypass the local church and ignore the local church and compete with the local church are a healthy addition to the kingdom of Christ in our day. I think they're far from it, that they're actually a great detriment. If we want to advance the cause of Christ, we've got to pay more attention to biblical truth, biblical patterns, biblical ways of thinking in so many areas, and one of those is in the area of the church. But the point is this. Paul made mention of the brethren who are with him. He made mention of the churches of Galatia. And the point is that he is emphasizing this partnership. We need one another. We don't do well alone. We don't serve Christ well alone. We need to work together with other believers within the context of churches. And that's where we will best serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we will most honor the Lord Jesus Christ in our labors. And may God help us to understand that. And so until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace. Amen.